Good morning. It's good for us to be here together today, and we've got a great day to be here as far as weather and all that. Happy to have the opportunity to stand before you this morning to discuss with you things that concern God's Word. Just thinking about the lesson, and we'll be going back to 1 Peter chapter 5 in just a few minutes. We're all faced with various problems in this life. We all have our worries and anxieties, no matter who we are, whether young, old. And it doesn't, as you know, I hear people say, well, I'll be glad when I get through this or get through that. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're going to get through this into something else is the problem. So we all have our problems, whether it's work-related, school-related, family-related, health issues. You could probably come up with a lot more. And this is nothing new. We know that when sin came into the world with Adam, that one of the things that he was told was that when the work that he did after that, that he would have to toil and sweat, and that he would have thorns. Or in other words, he'd have obstacles that he had to deal with. We know later on that there was problems in his family. I mean, his one of his sons killed his other son. So we see that this is nothing new, that we all are faced with our own issues all the time. And we tend to cope with these things differently on our own. Some people, when they're faced with frustrations or other problems, get angry. Some people get sad. Some people clam up. Some people give up. And some people seem to try to fight their way through. And what we find is that sometimes with some of the problems that we're going to be faced with, that even doing everything that we can do, the problem's still there. That there's some things that maybe we just can't get over. Some things are out of our control. And I think that's the one thing that we all at some point learn in this life is that there's a lot of things that we don't have any control over. And we've been kind of taught in this in our society that each person, if you just try hard enough and if you just learn enough and all those kind of things, that there's nothing that we can't overcome. That's just not true. We don't control the rain. We don't control the sun. If the gas wells dried up tomorrow, what would happen in this community would probably surprise a lot of people. If the food trucks didn't come in tomorrow and keep the shelves full tomorrow, what would happen? And those are things that not I, not you, not anybody has really any real control over. We're told in 2 Timothy, you'll be turning there. 3:12. He says, indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So, Christians are not immune to problems. We see all throughout the history of the church that Christians were faced with problems from the time they became Christians to the time of their death. And that went for Jesus Christ as well when he was in this life. He was persecuted sorely. And all of his followers after that. We look back, if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Our enemy, our adversary, the one who would like to see you dead, the one who would like to see you in hell with him, is constantly scheming, constantly trying to figure out a way to cause you trouble, to cause you anxiety, to basically destroy you. And in a sense, we can't stop him from trying to do that. That's the thing that is out of our control. Now, how we respond to the different things that we're faced with, that's a different story. But we can't stop him from causing trouble in this world. I mean, we've seen that. But God has told his people, I will help you. And we know that. So let's How does God tell us to deal with our anxieties or our problems? In verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5, the first step, I think, is this. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. The first thing that we have to do when we're faced with a problem is humble ourselves to God. In other words, acknowledge our need for God. Like we just talked about a few minutes ago, there's problems that we cannot solve. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that and saying, Lord, this is too big for me. Does that mean we don't try to do anything to help ourselves? No, it doesn't mean that, but it does mean that we know that we have an idea in our mind that there are some things I can't control, and God will control that if I will only go to Him and leave this with Him. Let's look in Job chapter 25. In verse 5. Here, this is one of Job's companions who is trying to explain to him that man is inferior. And the statement itself is right. The setting of it, probably the context of when he used this statement probably was not right. But anyway, he says in verse 4, how then can a man be just with God, or how can he be clean who is born of woman? If even the moon has no brightness and the stars are not pure in his sight, how much less man, that maggot, and the son of man, that worm? In other words, the point he's making is that there is not anything in the creation of God that compares to God. He's right about that. He's saying if even the moon has no brightness and the stars are not pure in his sight, if even those great things are not, how much less are we? Look in Isaiah chapter 57. In verse 15. For thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. He tells us here that the people that God is going to dwell with, the people that God is going to consider, are those who humble themselves to Him. I dwell with those who are contrite and lowly of spirit. I dwell with those who are humble. Those who know their need. If you don't know your need, if you're proud, in other words, God doesn't have anything to tell you. Because you already know everything. I mean, isn't that the problem? When we're proud, we think, well, I already know everything. I don't need anybody to help me do anything. So you're not going to take instruction when you have that idea in your mind. I'm already too strong. I'm already this. I'm already that. So I mean, why would you go to God and ask for help if you think that you know everything? But the fact of the matter is we don't. And at some point in this world, every one of us find that out if we live long enough to see it. We'll find it out that we don't know, that we're not in control. Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Why do the humble obtain wisdom? Because they are willing and able to receive instruction. They're willing. When we're humble, when we know our problems, we're willing to listen to somebody that can help us. We're willing to listen, and then we're more willing to listen to God and to do what He says. And lastly, let's look at Luke chapter 18. I'm going to start in verse 9 and read the parable. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, they both have the same problem. One just doesn't recognize that he has a problem, and the other doesn't recognize it because of his humility. I mean, think about what the Pharisee is saying here. I thank you, God, that I'm not like everybody else, that I'm so much better. So basically, he's not asking God for help because he's already so much better. He don't need anything. But God says, he's not justified at the end of all this. And the other one who humbles himself, who acknowledges that he has a problem before God, that he's a sinner. He acknowledges that. And God justifies him. So, one has a problem that doesn't know he has one. It's still unsolved. The other person acknowledges his problem, and God solves it for him. And that's how it is for us. We have to humble ourselves before God. Another person to think about as we think about this is, you think of Job. No one ever had more severe problems presented to him in so quick a fashion that I can think of. Nobody, at least nobody worse. Lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. In a blink of an eye. I mean, one right after the other. Boom, boom, boom. And yet, he did not sin against God. It's an amazing thing to me, the statement that he makes right after all this happens. I mean, you think about, I mean, we take a loss or we're presented with some terrible thing, and the first thing we want to do is scream and yell and what he mourns here. But if you look in verse 20 of chapter 1, this is after all these things happen. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Think about what he went through, and this is what he says. Job had proven earlier in the chapter that he was humble before God because he was praying. He was afraid that his kids weren't praying properly, so he's praying for them too and offering sacrifices for them too. So, I mean, this is how much Job depended upon God. And when trouble came, he did not lose that dependence upon God. He did not lose his faith in God, and that he did not blame God for any of the problems that he had. And it very easily could have been, well, I've sacrificed to God, I've prayed to God the whole time, and this is the thanks I get, and why would God do this to me? That's what his friends actually get him to try to do the whole rest of the book. But Job never blamed God and was able to maintain this through all of this. So some certain things that we should know, or if we will tell ourselves or learn these concepts here, it will help us in this. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? If we understand this, that we should be content in the circumstances that we're in, with the understanding is that God will not desert us, and the idea that we know in our hearts, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Read verse 11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. The point that I want you to think about right now is He has made everything appropriate in its time. And the idea being this is that God works on His own timetables. He does things when they need to be done. Not before, not after. And when we go to God with the problems that we have, with the anxieties that we have, He may not answer us that second. He may not take care of the things in the time period that we would like to see it done. If you look in Psalms chapter 27, we're told what our job is here. I'll start in verse 11. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a path, in a level path." Let's see, let me make sure I'm in the right place. Yes. "Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. So God does things on His own timetable. It is our job to wait for God. To know, like He said, "I would have despaired, but I believed that God would see the goodness of the Lord." If we believe that, then it's not a problem for us to wait on God to help us solve our problems. Now, we live in a society where we think everything should happen yesterday. I mean, if I want something done, I want it done. I don't want it done now. I want it done 5 minutes ago. That's not how it works with God. But God says, "Wait on me. Trust me, and I will take care of this appropriately." Let's look at James chapter 1. Verses 2 through 4. He says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." One of the things that we need to think about is try to take a more far-sighted approach to our various problems that we're presented with, or obstacles that we're presented with. As not just a pain, which they are, but an opportunity to overcome so that our faith might be strengthened. Now, it's easier for us to see that or say that after we've overcome the problem. But a lot of times, you know, we have a lot of grief in the process of it. But He's saying, consider it all joy, my brethren, when this happens, because it's an opportunity for you to grow in Christ. The other thing in 1 Peter, what he talks about, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 7 he says, "Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." One of the things that he tells us to do is, or the second thing he tells us to do after he tells us to humble ourselves, is to cast all our anxiety upon Him. What does that imply? That implies that we have to trust Him. If we're going to truly cast our worries upon Him, then we know that He can take care of it. And if we don't cast our anxieties on Him, then we were saying we don't trust Him to take care of the problem. And it's that simple. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 And this is in line with some of the last things we just talked about. Starting in verse 7, Paul says here, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for the power is perfected in weakness. Now, two things here. One, Paul did what we're told to do right here. He cast that anxiety upon God. Now, sometimes when we present God with problems, he doesn't solve the problem the way that we would want it to be solved, because he knows better than we know what needs to be done. Could he have taken this thorn of the flesh away from Paul? He certainly could have. But then Paul might have been faced with a bigger problem than the thorn in the flesh that he had. That was the point of all this. He's saying, you know, he kept me from getting proud, exalting myself. So he allowed this to happen so that I might not. And if you look at what Paul says then after that. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So many of the things that we have anxiety about are the very things that are listed right here. Weaknesses, insults, distresses, difficulties for Christ's sake. All those things, those are things that just about covers everything that we could potentially be faced with. And he's saying, but when I am weak, then I'm strong because he has humbled himself to God, and he sees that now. That is so. One of the things that we do that when we're faced with troubles is to remember this: we are strong when we depend upon God. That's when we're strongest. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 as well. I'll start in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. And I'll skip down to verse 31. He says, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? If we believe that, if we trust that, and we cast our anxieties upon Him, we know that God will either solve our problem in the way that we would like, or He will solve the problem in the way it should have been solved in the first place. We don't know if our own thinking is in line with His or not. But we do know this, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Do we trust that? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Talking about Jesus here, he says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. The most grievous problem that any of us have, or anybody in this world has, is the fact that they have sinned against God. And God makes it possible for us to cast our sins upon his body here that he bore those sins for us. So if he's willing to take on our sins, he's willing to take on our problems as well to help us. I mean, as was stated in another part of the scripture, I mean, if he loved us so much that he would even sacrifice himself, well, I mean, sacrifice his son for us, then of course he's concerned about us, and he's going to do what he can to help us. And there's nothing that he can't do. Lastly, as we get ready to close, he said we need to understand that he cares for us, and we either believe that or we don't. And if we go back to James chapter 1, we'll read verses 5 through 7. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought to not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It's the same way with our problems that we have. When we ask of God, we have to know or trust that He is going to take care of these problems. And if we don't expect Him to do it, then we shouldn't expect anything. Just like He says here, you ask for wisdom, He must ask in faith and not doubt. And if you doubt, you shouldn't expect anything. Psalms chapter 118. Read verses 6 through 9. He says, "The Lord is with me, is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." Who are you going to take your problems to? You going to take them to the government? You going to take them to some other person? Well, you know, if we think about what the government has been able to do, we can. I think most of us can learn that they fall short many times. That they don't have a very good track record as far as being perfect and taking care of everybody's problems. Whereas God, on the other hand, never fails. That's His track record. Who would we rather trust? Think on it in those terms. And then we'll close on an example. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 again. I'm going to start in verse 21 again and read through verse 25. "For you've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." Think about what Jesus went through, but the point here is this for us in this lesson is, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Have we entrusted ourselves to God who judges righteously? Have we entrusted him with our problems? Because he will take care of those problems. And we've been called out of darkness. For what reason? That we might overcome the world and its problems through Christ. Whatever our problem, the greatest problem that faces everybody in this world is sin, and all the other things that we see as a result, the other things that come up that we worry about are a result of that. I mean, like we talked about Adam initially. I mean, the reason that obstacles were placed in front of him is because sin came into the world. And so we have the first thing that we have to do, if you're not a Christian, the first thing you have to do is get this big problem taken out of the way first, which is sin against God. And God has made preparations that problem can be solved today. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that He came to this world and lived a sinless life, died for the sins of the world, if you believe that, you're willing to confess that before others, to repent of your sins, to be baptized, and then to walk in newness of life afterwards, then that problem is taken away. And then it's just the regular things that come up in all of our lives that God will help us with. But we help ourselves by remembering who we are, that we humble ourselves before God, that He wants us to cast our anxieties upon Him and trusting Him that He'll take care of it on His timetable and when it's right and in the right way. If there's any here that has a need, please feel free to come forward. We stand and sing.